You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello, I'm Brian Hobbs, editor of the Baptist Messenger, and I'm honored to be joined with Dr. Blake Gideon, who is senior pastor at Edmonds First Baptist Church. Brother Blake, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very excited to tell our listeners and viewers about your new book, Identity, and its subtitle is Living Your Life with Influential Purpose. It's a new release. I've read it. Everyone should read it. But I thought we could begin and talk about how this book came about and why you chose to write it at this time.
Well, you know, I didn't realize the importance of identity, understanding your identity, until I became a Christian. And most people know that I did not become a Christian until I was 24 years old. And after coming to know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I then began to realize that through study of the Scripture, that identity is absolutely essential to every Christian. Sadly, so many fail to see that, or so many have never heard that. And so, for example, for myself, before I came to know the Lord, my identity was wrapped up in, and I talk about that in the book, but my identity was wrapped up in the things of the world. Specifically, I thought I had to be the toughest, the meanest, the best. I was a very arrogant, very proud young man, and I wanted everyone to respect me. And what I realized now, that I was actually a very insecure young man. But my identity was wrapped up in what other people thought about me. And so I was constantly trying to perform because I wanted people, there was a certain character I was trying to portray. And when I felt like I was portraying that character well, of course I was on an emotional high. But once people didn't like me, or there were people who perhaps thought I was too arrogant and they didn't want to be around me, Therefore, my identity would begin to hit that emotional low because my identity was wrapped up in what other people thought. And then after I came to know Christ, that was still a struggle. You know, there were a lot of things that the Lord set me free from, but when I came to know the Lord on April 14th of the year 2000, I started preaching a month later. And God called me into ministry immediately. And it wasn't long after that, before I started preaching, that God called me into pastoral ministry. And when I started pastoring, my identity was wrapped up in being a pastor. Now, a lot of people would think, well, what's wrong with that? Well, everything's wrong with that. When your identity is wrapped up in being a good pastor, then when everybody loves you and everybody thinks you're doing great, man, you feel like you're on top of the mountain. But in reality is everybody won't love you, and there are going to be some people who don't think you're that great. So when everything was going well in the church, I was on this emotional high. When things would not go so well, I would be in this emotional low because my identity was wrapped up in being a good pastor. My identity at times was wrapped up in being a good father. Now, should we be good fathers? Absolutely, we should be good fathers. But should that be our identity? I say no, because if my identity is wrapped up in being a good father, then when I feel like I'm being a good father, I'm on this emotional high. Mm-hmm. But when I feel like if I'm being a bad father, I'm on this emotional low. I believe that, I'll just, you know, I'm not going to throw a percent out there. I'll just say I believe a large part of the people who sit in our pews on Sunday mornings are on this emotional roller coaster, and it's because they have their identity in the wrong place. It's their job. It could be maybe their identity is wrapped up in something in the past. Perhaps they've been divorced, and so they see themselves as a divorced person. Or maybe something happened to them when they were young, and they see themselves as a victim. And so I truly believe that there are a large majority of the people sitting in the pews on a Sunday morning who are on this emotional roller coaster, and they're not really able to live their life with influential purpose because their identity is established in the wrong things.
That's a good word. Yeah. And in your book, you talk about vertical and horizontal.
Right.
Could you unpack that a little, vertical identity? Because that was profound to me.
Yeah. So vertical identity simply means that you see yourself as God sees you. You see yourself as God sees you. In contrast to horizontal identity means that you're looking at the things of the world to establish who you are. And one thing I know for sure is you're going to have an identity in something. It's either going to be in Christ, which is vertical, or you're going to shop around for the things of this world to establish your identity. And all the things of this world are subject to change. So that means your identity is going to be changing all the time. And you're constantly going to be trying to catch up or put on a new mask. And that's going to lead to emotional stress, ultimately burnout. But vertical identity is choosing to see yourself as God sees you and say the things about yourself that God says about you. And so let me tell you how that came about in my own life. God had led me to preach through the book of Ephesians. And so as I started preaching through the book of Ephesians, I just began to read and develop this sermon series on all the things that God says about me or about the Christian in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And I kept seeing this reoccurring theme where God would say, you're blessed. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Or you're chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. He predestined you to adoption. He redeemed you. He forgave you. He has given you an inheritance. He has sealed you by the Holy Spirit. So these are all the things that I begin to see that God says about Blake Gideon. God says, I'm blessed, I'm chosen, I'm adopted, I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven, I'm an inheritor, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. These are all the things that God says about, not just about me, but every Christian. This is how God sees us. This is what God says about us. And that never changes. And so when we begin to establish our identity vertically in who Christ is and what Christ says about us, then that emotional roller coaster begins to straighten out. Because what God says about us and how God sees us never changes. Never changes.
That's a good word. And what you said about people finding another identity if they don't realize or grab hold of this identity. It could be sports or hobbies or technology. Yeah. I love in the book how you share stories.
Yeah.
You know, there's these testimonies or letters. Could you, just for our viewers, share a story that maybe you've seen someone who could grab hold of this identity concept and how it's transformed them?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. I wrote this book for the average person sitting in the pew. But it's not just for the average Christian sitting in the pew. It's also written in order to engage those who aren't saved.
Yes.
And so it's very unique in that style. But also it's very personal. I'm very transparent about my own life in the book. I talk about my own struggles. But there's also testimonies of individuals that I know who share their own personal identity crisis. One is Lauren Nelson,
yes.
Lauren Nelson Farum, who was Miss America 2007. And she shares her story in the book about how her identity was wrapped up in being Miss America. But once that reign was over, how she began to have this emotional crisis in her life because she was no longer the center of attention, if you will. Mm-hmm. But then God got a hold of her and God saved her. Her identity no longer is wrapped up in being Miss America, but her identity is wrapped up in being a child of God and seeing herself as Christ sees her. This is recent. I won't say his name because I haven't gotten his permission to say his name, but I'm actively involved in CrossFit. And there is a young man who is a prolific CrossFit competitor. As a matter of fact, those who know anything about CrossFit, he actually made it to the CrossFit Games, which
Wow.
is like the Super Bowl, if you will, of CrossFit. And only the elite of the elite athletes make it to the games. And he made it to the CrossFit Games. During one of the first events, he tore his pec. And so he was not able to compete. So he spent all year training. He competed through regionals. He competed and made his way to the games, got to the games, gets to the first event, tears a muscle, and he has to drop out. He hit an emotional low because his identity was wrapped up in being the elite CrossFitter. That was his identity. His whole world revolved around that. Well, we have a mutual friend, and I heard his story. I heard about how He was depressed and all that he was going through. And so I had our mutual friend just to send him a copy of my book. And I got word back just recently how God had used the book to really lift his head. And matter of fact, I wrote in the book, I signed it and I wrote in there, and I said, keep your focus on what really matters. Mm. That's what I wrote inside the book as I signed it. And I got word back just the other day that his whole perspective of everything has changed. And of course, he wants to be a great athlete, but he realizes now that being a CrossFit competitor is not his identity. It's what he does. It's what he enjoys, but it's not who he is.
Yes.
The same way, I'm a pastor. It's what I do. It's what I enjoy. But it's not who I am. Who I am is a child of the King.
Amen.
Blessed, redeemed, adopted, chosen, sealed, forgiven. But forgiven. That's who I am. I enjoy doing all these other things. And I would like to say that to those who may be watching. Maybe you're a lawyer. That's what you do. But that's not who you are. If you're a Christian, the Lord says you're blessed, you're chosen, you're adopted, you're redeemed, you're forgiven, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's what it means to have a vertical identity. One thing we know that is that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And he loves nothing more than to go before God and to accuse us, especially when we sin. And again, this book is not condoning sin in any way. As a matter of fact, throughout the book, I call people to repentance in the book if they are living in sin. So this book in no way condones sin. But it does point us to some good theology with good practical living as a result of it. But when Satan goes before God to accuse us, and then when we begin to feel the guilt and the shame of what we've done, and we begin to speak to ourselves, because let's face it, we are our own greatest influencers. You are in a dialogue with yourself, Brian, all day long.
Yeah.
You are in a constant dialogue with yourself. You're constantly saying something to yourself about yourself. The question is what does that dialogue sound like? Are you constantly saying to yourself, man, I'm junk, I'm a failure, I've confessed this sin over and over to God, and I keep committing the same sin over again. God doesn't love me, God doesn't care about me, God's not going to use me anymore. I'm divorced. I've done this. I was short with my kids the other day. I'm a horrible father. Is that the dialogue that you're speaking to yourself? If it is, then how in the world do you ever expect to live your life with purpose? How in the world do you ever expect to live your life for the glory of God? So what I hope the book encourages us to do, first of all, if you're not a Christian, to give your life to Christ. But secondly, if you are a Christian, when that dialogue begins to happen, begin to change your dialogue. Yes, you've committed a sin. Don't live in it. Confess that to God and repent of it. But who you are in Christ never changes. God's not saying you're a piece of junk. I don't love you anymore. You can't be used. All these things. God is still saying to you, even when Satan accuses, God is still saying, you're talking about my child. You're talking about my blessed, chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, sealed child. That's what God says about you. That's how God sees you. And that's how God wants you to see yourself.
Amen. I love that. And I loved what you said about Lauren's story and the other gentleman. Blake, how could people get their hands on a copy, either for themselves or a gift book? What's the best way to
Well, it's on Amazon,
okay.
So you can go to Amazon and it's an ebook, or you can get a paper copy and just order it through Amazon, and you should get one just in a matter of days. You could also contact our church, First Baptist Church Edmond, and we could get you a book that way as well. So there's a couple of, you could also go to the publisher's website, Master Design, and the book is available there. So either Amazon, you can contact our church, or Master Design. And so there's several ways people can get their hands on the book.
That's awesome. I was so glad you wrote it and had been wanting to, from the first minute I saw it released, wanted to have you on the broadcast and talk about it. When you were talking about the externals and how the devil lures us to take our identity in these things, but Christ wants us to focus on our identity in Him. I think about someone like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Lutheran German pastor who was part of a plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler, and they're found out, and he's thrown into prison, and he's somewhat certain that he's going to be put to death.
Right.
And all this, and he goes through this crisis. All of the external had been stripped away. His family wasn't there. His role in society had been removed,
yep.
And he had that crisis moment. And something I love about your book is how you're able to show through the crisis moment, that's when we see it clearly.
Yeah.
Have you been getting good reception from the book? You mentioned a couple of stories and things.
I just shared one with you about the gentleman who's involved in CrossFit.
Yeah.
But every now and then I'll get an email of how God has used the book to help someone through a crisis or through a struggle or to change their perspective of how they were seeing themselves and to get them off that emotional roller coaster. You know what happens when you ride a roller coaster long enough, eventually you're going to get, sick.
Ill.
Yeah. Get ill. And sadly, there's a lot of Christians who are spiritually ill. And it's because they keep riding and riding and riding it all over again. So I've had people who've contacted me and just said, thanks for helping me to get off that emotional roller coaster and to point me towards my true identity in Christ and not in the things of this world. I've had individuals come up to me, specifically at our church, who have just talked about how they read the book and they thoroughly enjoyed it, and they've bought copies to give to friends. And to be honest, as a pastor, you're not going to, I'm a very transparent person, okay? So I'm going to be transparent.
Okay.
This book was not picked up by a major publisher, okay? So I'm not going to get wealthy off of this book. But that's not the purpose in which I wrote it. Thank God my church takes care of me financially because the sales of this book is not going to do that. But I will say the reason I wrote this book is because the message that's inside of it needs to be heard. It needs to be heard.
Yeah.
And so that's more important to me than anything else. Matter of fact, I cannot tell you how many copies I've just given away.
Yeah.
Just because I just want people to have it.
Could you talk about what kind of book you consider this to be? Because there's a lot of books out there.
Right.
There's a lot of, bookstores. How would you categorize this if you had to?
Well, I'll say what the book is not.
Okay.
The book is not a self-help book, nor is it The Power of Positive Thinking. It's not either of those two things. This book is a book that first addresses theology. In other words, who we are in Christ, how he sees us and what he says about us. I had a seminary professor tell me one time that true theology leads to doxology, which is worship. When we understand true theology, it automatically inspires within us this desire to worship God, to live our lives for the glory of God. And that's really, based upon the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters is specifically about who you are in Christ, and the last three chapters, this is how you should live because of it. And so I would say that the book is just follows that same pattern of the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. Here's some theology, and this is how you should live in light of that theology. This is what God expects from you because of who you are and what he's done for you.
Excellent. Well, I just appreciate so much you coming on the program to tell us. The book is Identity, Living Your Life with Influential Purpose. We've been talking to Blake Gideon, who's senior pastor at Edmonds First Baptist Church. Thank you for writing this. I would encourage everyone listening to get their hands on a copy. And really, it'd be a great gift book, too, whether for a young person or anyone in your life who needs to find that identity in Christ. Blake, thank you again for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.